If you could turn, please, in the living word of God to the book of Hebrews and the chapter 11. Book of Hebrews and the chapter 11. As you're trying to place, may you just take this opportunity to make a number of announcements. The first is that, as many of you are aware, a letter has been issued by the session, and if you could, within this week, or indeed by next Monday, get back to one of the elders on the session just to inform them whether you would be able to or whether not able to, whenever it comes to the Lord's Day services, and indeed the rest of your household. Just let us know numbers so that we can make the best decision that's possible for the congregation coming into September. Also, please do remember the Lord's Day services that are coming up, and we pray for our brother, Reverend Fred Greenfield, and that the Lord will bless him with a word in season and a word for your heart, as well as for each that will gather. Please also do pray. I was just informed today that Valerie McMurray, one of her grandchildren, indeed one of her grandsons, took sick just a couple of days ago and had to be taken into hospital, had to go through an operation. But thankfully, things seem to have gone well with the operation just today. But certainly, please do pray for the recovery of the young man, that all will go well, and indeed the whole family will know the Lord's peace and grace at this time. The book of Hebrews and the chapter 11, and we'll commence reading at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We'll end the reading there at verse 6. And let's just bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to undertake and to speak to us through his word this evening. Let every one of us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thy beloved Son is one who's praying for us even now. Father, he presents himself before thee, and Lord, this very second, indeed every second of this service, he'll be praying, Lord, what we read of in John 17, that thou would sanctify us who are thy people through thy truth. Lord, thy word is truth. Lord, I cry that you would keep us, even in this world, with all of its temptations, with all of its struggles. And I ask you, Lord, that you would make us to be the people that you want us to be. Lord, show us the beauty and the wonder of thy salvation. Lord, I cry for myself tonight. I cry for each one that's here this evening. Indeed, each one that will listen to this meeting, whether it be tomorrow or another occasion. Lord, bless thy precious word. Do a work tonight that will last for eternity. Honor thine own name. Honor thine own word. Honor thine own Son. And Father, purify us. He gave himself not merely to redeem us, but to purify unto himself a peculiar, a precious people, zealous of good works. O Father, give us grace, we cry. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'm going to ask you now to turn to one more reference. It's 2 Peter and the chapter 1. 2 Peter and the chapter 1. We will go back to Hebrews chapter 11. But it is 2 Peter chapter 1. And the first verse that I want to read to you just at this stage. And there we read, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We'll end the reading there at verse 1. There are many valuable items in this world. Whenever you look at websites and the different names you can get for websites, for example, www.tesco or confused.com, whatever it may be, you can get some very expensive and some very valuable websites. For example, the domain, the website, carinsurance.com, is worth just that title itself, $49.7 million. Very valuable. Not merely are some websites valuable, but some watches are valuable. I am told that there is a watch made with 874 diamonds, with a total, collectively, of 201 carat gemstones. And that's worth $55 million. You can get expensive cars. If you want to buy a 1963 Ferrari 250 GTO, that's worth, I'm told, $70 million. Or indeed, you can look at other things that are valuable, such as businesses. Microsoft itself is worth $1.3 trillion, or indeed $1,300 billion. As I said, there are many valuable items in this world. But there are other items that are even more valuable, that are declared even in God's word as precious. For example, in Psalm 116, verse 15, we're told, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we read something else that's extremely valuable. We read about exceeding great and precious promises. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, we're told that those who are saved, that we are not redeemed with the corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, we're told, "Unto you therefore which believe, he that is Christ is precious." And what you and I looked at this evening in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, when we read it earlier, you and I read about them that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to look with you at this simple but profound truth, that faith in Christ is precious. It is a treasure more valuable than the things of this world. Someone could be a billionaire. Someone could be a great business extraordinaire. Someone could be brilliant in terms of their genius. Someone could have a fantastic car or a watch. But yet, to have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior is something that is far more precious. Something you and I should be thankful to God for. Thankful with all that we have. I want to leave with you a number of arguments, or indeed a number of points, to prove to you that faith in Christ is precious. First of all, faith is precious because of its necessity. If you could choose only one from each of the following options, I wonder what you would choose. You can't have both of them, you can only have one or the other. So take for example, would you choose oxygen or gold? You can't have both, you either have one or the other. What would you choose? What about food or silver? Again, you can't have both, you can only have one or the other. What would you choose? What about heat or diamonds? What would you choose? While oxygen, food, and heat may not be expensive in our day and age to purchase, yet a person who does no longer have them for a short time, food, oxygen, or heat, they would likely be willing to give everything that they had to have them. After all, without oxygen to breathe, without food to eat, and without heat to keep a person warm, they cannot live. And that which is necessary makes it to be extremely valuable. Oxygen, heat, and indeed food is more valuable than gold, silver, and diamonds. Similarly, in the spiritual realm, people cannot live without faith. Faith is absolutely necessary. For example, faith is essential for justification. Someone wants to have their sins forgiven. Someone wants to be made right in the eyes of God the Father, perfect. They need faith. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, you and I are told,
therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 11, you and I are also told, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Taking these two verses together, it is made clear to you and I that a person, if they are to be justified, that is, that they are to be declared perfect in the sight of God, as the little acronym would, not acronym, but this little phrase would go, justified just as if I'd never sinned, and just as if I'd done everything perfect. That justification, that being made perfect in the eyes of God, it comes through faith, and faith alone. There is no other way for someone to be made right with God, but through faith. Faith is essential for justification. Faith is also essential for adoption. Let me ask you, to whom is given power to become the sons of God? John chapter 1 verse 12 gives us the answer. Even to them that believe on his name. Galatians chapter 3, 26, we're told, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. No one can become an heir of God's, joint heir with Jesus Christ, without faith. No one can know the favor of God upon them in this life without faith. Faith is essential for justification. Faith is essential for adoption into the family of God. Faith is also essential for sanctification. In Acts chapter 15, verse 9, the Apostle Peter speaks to the leaders of the early church about the Gentiles. And he declares regarding those Gentiles that the Holy Spirit is, quote, purifying their hearts by faith. How does the Holy Spirit purify somebody? How does the Holy Spirit sanctify somebody? How does the Holy Spirit enable someone to die more and more under sin, live more and more under Christ? It is by faith. Faith is essential. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul declared, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith is also essential for perseverance in the Christian life, or indeed preservation by God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, you and I are told that we are kept by the power of God through faith. You and I will have struggles in life, difficulties in life. You and I will have hurdles that we come up against in life. Sometimes it will seem like really high brick walls. But you and I will persevere in the Christian life by faith. If it was not faith, you and I would not persevere. Faith is essential for glorification. Who is it that enters into glory? Who is it that enters into God's eternal rest, dwells with God, and God dwells with them for all eternity, new heaven and new earth, where there is no pain, no more crying, no more suffering? Who is it that dwells in that eternal rest? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. We which have believed, we only who have believed, do enter into that rest. Men and women and young people this evening, do you realize tonight just how precious faith is? The only thing that unites you to Jesus Christ tonight is faith. The only thing that brings you into a perfect standing with God the Father, it's faith, nothing else. The only thing that brings you into the family of God is faith. The only thing that brings sanctification into your heart, it's faith. The only thing that brings strength into your heart to continue in your walk with God and in your service for God, not giving up in disappointment, discouragement, and despair, is faith. The only thing that brings you into heaven and home is faith. How precious is faith? Well, let me ask you, would you swap your faith in Christ for a watch worth $55 million? Would you swap your faith for a car worth $70 million? Would you swap your faith for a business worth $1.3 trillion? I highly doubt it. Why? Because you would never know that peace and sins are given without faith. You would never go through life with the favor of God upon you without faith. Who would want to try? Who would want to go through life without victory over sin? Who would want to go to hell and never be in glory? Faith is precious. So, so precious. Because of its necessity. And yet I wonder this evening, as I speak to myself, when was the last time you and I cried, Lord, increase our faith? If faith is so precious, people will spend their time and their energy and their effort and all their skills and all their talents and all that they have to try and increase in the wealth of this world and try and get possessions or position and promotion, whatever it may be. But I wonder, when was the last time you and I actually cried to God for faith? For an increase in faith? How much value do we put upon this which is absolutely precious? Faith. Faith is precious because of its necessity. Secondly, faith is precious because of its simplicity. I wonder who this evening possesses the understanding of quantum physics. I'll put up my hand and say I haven't a clue. I wonder who this evening possesses the knowledge of actuarial science. I'll put up my hand and say I haven't got a clue. And those things are, to use the term very loosely, they're for really clever people. They're for geniuses. But what about faith? Is faith only for geniuses? Is justification, adoption, sanctification, preservation, glorification, are these things, is the salvation of God in Christ, is that only for geniuses? Praise God, it's not. Because if it was, I wouldn't have it. Faith is able to be possessed by someone as young as 3 or someone as old as 93. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, if you want to turn to me there, which we read earlier on, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, you and I are given a definition of faith. You and I are told, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's some verses that you come to in life and you believe that they are very important, you believe they're very significant, and yet no matter reading them a second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, even coming back a week or two later and reading them again and again and again, that you still really can't grasp. But I have spent hours on this one verse, trying to understand exactly what it means. And I think I've got a little bit of a grasp of it now. What does this verse mean? Well, the word substance, it comes from two words in the Greek. It means, comes from the word stand and the word under. If you think of a foundation, that which stands under a building. The picture, according to Strong's Dictionary, of this word substance is the idea of a support. Faith is a support. Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. It is the evidence, or indeed the conviction, the proof of things not yet seen. If I was to put it as simply to you as I can, what is faith? Faith is believing God. It is believing that what God has said in his word is true. And it is sure. Even if you do not yet see it, and even if you have not yet sensed it, with your hearing and your smell, whatever it may be. If you look with me at a different number of verses to see how this word faith is translated in other places. For example, if you look at me please at Matthew chapter 27. And this will help reinforce this idea that faith is believing God. If you're going to hope for something, if you're going to, that is, expect something to come, it's because you believe God. You've been persuaded by God, convinced by God that it's true, even if you haven't seen it yet, even if there's no sense of it coming yet, yet you believe it because you believe God. Matthew chapter 27, verse 20, you and I read, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. See that word persuaded? That's the word for faith. You see, the chief priests and the elders went through the crowd there as Christ was being condemned, as the people would seek to choose Barabbas over Christ before Pontius Pilate. And there the chief priests were running through the crowds and they were saying this thing and that thing about Christ and slandering and making up lies about him to persuade the people, to convince the people that Christ was not worthy of having, but worthy of dying. Luke chapter 20, if you want to turn to me there. Luke chapter 20 and verse 6. And you and I read, if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. Here you have the Jewish leaders And there they have been asked, you know, is John the prophet, was he of God? John the Baptist, was he of God or was he not? And they said, well, we say he's of men. Well, the people are going to stone us because they were persuaded. That is the same word for faith there. They were convinced that John was of God. And this is no small persuasion, by the way. In Matthew chapter 27, the people were so convinced that Christ is worthy of death that they would send him to the most horrific of deaths, crucifixion. In Luke chapter 20, the people are so persuaded that John is a prophet from God that they would literally pick up stones and stone their leaders. That's what faith is, being persuaded. And what God said is true. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40, if you want to turn me there, you'll see another word that's used in the English to translate this Greek word for faith, giving us another shade of the same meaning. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40, whenever the Jewish leaders tried to decide what they were going to do regarding the apostles as they preached Christ, you and I read, and to him, to the one who stood up, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. See that word agreed? That's the word for faith. They agreed. You see, what does it mean to have faith? It's not some complicated, hard to possess, inexplicable mystery. Faith is simple. It's believing God. It's believing God. If you know someone who wants to be made right with God, you tell them that if they're ever to be justified, if they're ever to be right before God, if their sins are ever to be forgiven, they must believe God. Not simply believe in God that he exists, but they must believe God. Believe God when he declares in Romans chapter 3, 23 that all have sinned. They must believe God in Romans 6, 23 when he declares that the wages of their sin is death, horrific death, eternal death. But they are to believe God also when he says in Romans 5 verse 8 that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6, 23, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And indeed, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is faith? Faith is simple. It is believing that what God has said in his word is true. And as I take God at his word, I call on Christ for salvation, that I am saved. Because although I'm a sinner, although I deserve God's wrath, I deserve hell, yet God has loved sinners. God has declared he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinners. And through Christ's payment on that cross, he offers me a free gift of salvation. Do you see how precious faith is? Well, we've seen it's necessary, but you and I see its simplicity. As the hymn writer said, a little child of 7, or even 3 or 4, may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. And when the heart believeth in Christ, the Son of God, 'tis then the soul receiveth salvation through his blood. I wonder, you and I think for this evening that faith is not some inexplicable, hard to possess, transcendent mystery. It's simple. It's believing God. Notice with me, thirdly, that faith is precious, not merely because of its being necessary and because of its simplicity, but faith is precious because of its productivity. Unlike a rotten egg or a burning cigarette, which produce that which is horrible, faith produces that which is beautiful. You see, if someone really believes God, they really believe that they are vile sinners before God, that they have sinned. Every single moment, every single thought, every single word, every single action, every single motivation, they have sinned against God. And that they deserve God's eternal wrath for every single sin. If they believe God, and yet they also believe that God declares that he has given his only, not one of many, but his only begotten, his most precious Son, not merely to live for them, but to die for them, the death of the cross, then that person cannot but be changed. That person cannot but be transformed by that truth. There are some people in this world who say they believe God and they declare themselves to be Christians. But yet, their belief seems to have no impact on them.
For example, in 2011, an opinion poll found that out of the people that had asked, 53% of the people said that they were Christians. However, only 29% of that said that they were religious. And only 9% would have attended a place of public worship in the past week. Men and women, for the vast majority of those people who say they have faith in that opinion poll, you have to wonder if they really do. You see, in James chapter 2, verse 7, you and I are told, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. If you look at me again at Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 11, after being told what faith is, in verse 1, the substance, the support, the foundation of anything that you hope for and expect from God, because you're believing God, even if you haven't yet seen it. You and I then, in verses 4 through to the end of the chapter, are giving examples of this wonderful truth of the productivity of faith. Because you see, faith produces faithfulness. It makes one faithful to God. You and I could look at verse 4 about how Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see, Abel was faithful to God. Oh, it cost him that which was precious. It cost him a lamb. But he was faithful to God because he believed God. That God was sending something greater for him. He was sending a Savior. You could look at verse 5 of Hebrews 11, and you and I will read it. Enoch was faithful to God. Now, you and I can look at the Old Testament about Genesis 5, about Enoch was one who walked with God. Instead of spending his time on that which is frivolous and had no benefit in leading him toward God, no, he walked with God. He was willing to sacrifice many things in this world that he would walk with God. What made him faithful to God? Because he believed in a Savior who was going to come, who would give everything for him. You see, true faith, believing God, produces faithfulness. Look on down. What about Noah in verse 7? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You see, Noah was faithful to God. Even if he had never seen rain before, he'd prepared the ark. Why? Because he believed God. What made Noah faithful? He believed God. What about Abraham? Verses 8 and following. Abraham was faithful to God, leaving the home, which no doubt there were aspects of that home that he loved, and going to a land he did not yet know of. Never seen before. But yet he was faithful to God because he believed God. What about Sarah? Sarah was faithful to God even if it meant believing in that which seemed impossible. But you see, she believed God. What about the mother of Moses later on in the chapter? The mother of Moses was faithful to God even if it meant that she might be killed by Pharaoh for hiding a child, a male child. But she believed God. She believed God loved her so much that he would send the Savior and show she was willing to be faithful no matter what the cost. What about Moses? You know, I read that by faith Moses, that he went on to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We read that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What made Moses to be faithful? It was faith. Faith is never alone. It may be simple, but it's never alone. It always produces faithfulness. That which is beautiful in the sight of God. What about the many of the saints later on in verses 36 and 37 of Hebrews 11? Read about those who would endure great torture, cruel mockings, scourgings, bonds, imprisonment, stones, sawn asunder. What made them faithful? Because they believed God that he was faithful. Let me ask you this evening, in seeing the preciousness of faith, do you want more of it? The only way you and I will ever be sanctified, the only way you and I will ever die more and more unto self and live more and more unto the Lord, is if you and I increase in faith. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul tells that it's only as we behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord that you and I are changed. From the same image, from glory into glory. It's only as you and I see the Lord. It's only as you and I believe God. Believe what he has written here in this word from Genesis to Revelation. I wonder this evening, are you one who wants to be faithful? Just be willing to sacrifice everything to the Lord and each surrender all to the Lord. Are you one who's willing to persevere like Noah did, even if people laugh and mock? Are you one who's willing to trust God, even if you don't yet know what lies ahead, like Abraham? Or trust God like Sarah, even if things seem impossible? Are you one who wants to be faithful? Well, then you need more faith. And yet I wonder tonight as I ask myself, are you and I willing to cry to the Lord? Like the man did in Mark chapter 9, Lord, I believe, but Lord, help thou mine unbelief. What about the apostles and their cry in Luke 17 verse 5, Lord, increase our faith. Faith is precious because of its productivity. It produces not that which is horrible, but that which is beautiful, faithfulness. Notice with me, fourthly, a natural follow-on, faith is precious because of its humility. Sometimes people can brag and say, you know, I've got great faith. But men and women, and young people this evening, no one can boast of their great faith. No one can brag that the faith that they have, that they somehow earned it or they worked it up. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, a verse that I'm sure everyone here knows this evening. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation, and every aspect of it, is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. In Galatians chapter 5, you and I are told in verses 22 and 23 that the fruit of the Spirit is faith, or indeed, turn that the other way around. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit of God. It comes from God, not from you. It's not a work of the flesh. It's not a work of you trying to get something and stirring something up. No, it is a fruit of God's. So tonight, if you are one who has strong faith, if you believe God in His Word, if tonight you're trusting God in hardship, if tonight you're like Moses and you're enduring great suffering, as seeing Him who is invisible, then be assured it's not because of your intellect or mine. It's not because of our genius. It's not because of our wisdom. It's not because of our work. It is entirely because of the grace of God. The hymn writer said, faith, 'tis a precious grace, where'er it is bestowed, but it boasts of a celestial birth, and it is the gift of God. The humility of faith brings every one of us down to one level. It removes boasting, it removes pride, it removes snobbery in the Christian church, and it puts the honor and focus rightly in Christ and Him alone. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, you and I are told that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. You see, after all, while faith is extremely precious, as you and I have noticed, yet it is only an instrument. If I was to ask you this evening, and I was to give you a piece of paper, and you were to write down option A or option B regarding the following, I wonder what you would choose. Option A, are you saved because you believe in Christ? Or are you saved because of Christ through faith? Which would you say? Option A, are you saved because you believe in Christ? Or are you saved because of Christ through faith? One of those is correct and the other is completely wrong. The answer is that you and I are saved because of Christ. It is the work that He has done for us. You and I are not saved because we have earned God's favor by showing faith. Romans chapter 3, if you want to look at me there, this makes very clear for us. Not merely have we seen already that Jesus Christ is the author, the finisher of our faith, but in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, you and I are told that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, without anything that he does. It's not his work. It's not his obedience. No, without the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, a few verses earlier. You and I are told that we are justified freely. Indeed, as that word is translated in the Gospels, that word freely, as without a cause. Christ is hated without a cause. You and I are justified, made right before God, without any cause in us, without any good in us. We are justified freely by God's, His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
The reality of faith is so precious to you and I because it humbles every one of us. Because our salvation, our life, all that we do for God, the service we do for God, the work that we persevere in for God, it's only because of God. It's not our work, not our wisdom, not our intellect, not our genius, that we can understand and grasp the things of the Bible and that we can rest upon them. No, it's entirely of God's grace. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, this makes it all the clear, all the more clear. We read, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's all been dealt out by God. This ought to humble us in our pride, but it ought also to humble us to prayer. You see, if faith is a gift from God, then you and I cannot pass it on to others. You and I need God to work in the lives of others. If we have children or we have grandchildren, you and I cannot pass it on to them. Oh, we can teach them the things of God. We can encourage them towards the things of God. But we cannot pass it on to them. This thing which is most precious, more precious than a $1.3 trillion business, we cannot pass it on to our children. Faith is the gift of God. How you and I need to pray that God will give faith to those whom we love. And to our children, to your grandchildren, to our friends, to our work colleagues, to those in our neighborhood, to those in this area, how you and I need to pray that the Lord will give them faith. They can't work it up, just as you and I didn't. It's the gift of God. But I wonder this evening, are you and I humbled, not merely humbled from our pride, but are we humbled to prayer? Lord, we need you to work. We need you to work. Faith is precious because of its humility. It humbles us, and that's a good thing. It humbles us down to our very knees. Faith, then, fifthly, is precious because of its beauty. Sometimes people are concerned about the size of their faith, and maybe you're one here this evening. To you, your faith is small, your faith is weak, your faith is pathetic. But when you and I understand that faith is the gift of God, that it is the creation of God, then you and I ought to treasure it, no matter what size it comes in. You and I think about Genesis chapter 1, whenever God created everything. God created the strong things, the elephants, the lions, the dinosaurs. God created the giant things, the planets and the stars. But God also created the little things. He created the bumblebee. He created the butterfly. He created the seahorse in the sea. God also created the weak things. He created the reed, the dandelion, and the flower. And do you think that God despised those small things that he made? Absolutely not. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, you and I read, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. It was beautiful in the sight of God. God didn't despise the small things, and neither should you or your eye. After all, did Christ not say that if we have faith even as the grain of mustard seed, you and I shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Small faith is strong faith when it is placed in the Savior, because the Savior himself is strong. Faith is precious because of its beauty. Faith is precious then because of its unity. There are many things that can separate the people of God. We have different talents. We have different measures of wealth, different positions in society, perhaps different levels of education. Whenever it comes to beliefs, some will be credo Baptist, others will be pedo Baptist, infant Baptist. Some people will be amillennial, others will be premillennial, others will be postmillennial. Many things that could divide us. But there's something that unites us. Faith. What do we read in Ephesians 4, verse 5? One Lord, one faith. What do we read in 2 Peter chapter 1? Turn with me back there, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter,
a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, this is who he's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Those whom the mighty, prominent, the apostle Peter was writing to, the layman, the laywoman, the housewife, the granny, the grandchild, each one who believed, like precious faith with us. The faith that they had was exactly the same the apostle Peter had. And where did it come from? Read the rest of the verse. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Whenever you and I can be tempted to feel pretty happy with ourselves and pretty chuffed with ourselves and look down upon someone else because they haven't got the same understanding of God's word, they just don't believe God as much as we believe God whenever he says such and such. Let us remember that faith is precious because of its unity. Jesus Christ, he died as much for our brethren in Christ as he died for us. And you and I all have this precious, tremendous, beautiful gift, faith, that unites us all to Jesus Christ. Tonight, as you and I look at that which is precious, absolutely precious, more precious than the things of this world, $1 trillion. I wonder this evening, are you and I thankful? Thankful for God's mercy that he would give us such a tremendous gift. Are you and I humble? We only have this gift. We only have our understanding of God. We only can believe God. We only can rest in his sovereignty and his grace and his goodness. You and I can only look towards glory. You and I can only endure through trials because God has given us and dealt with us that measure of faith. We'll not look down upon others. Oh, if they're lacking in faith, if they're struggling, we can pray for them. But I wonder, are we thankful tonight? We have the most precious thing. We could never have earned it, never purchased it. But God's given it to us freely, at the greatest cost of his own beloved Son, the shedding of his blood. Are we humble? Humble, Lord, I thank you. But humble enough to pray, Lord, give it to others. See, not merely humble and thankful, but prayerful. That others will have this faith too, and that they will be saved by God's grace. And prayerful that you and I will increase in faith. Because in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through to 8, you and I read that faith, this believing God, brings honor to God. It exalts God. And if a grain of mustard seed, in terms of the size of faith, can bring such honor to God, what possibilities there are for faith which is bigger. Will you and I be prayerful, Lord, increase my faith? You see, it's possible tonight because as you and I believe God and as you and I behold the glory of Christ in his word, you and I will be changed from glory into glory. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes. I wonder if that be the prayer of your heart this evening. Open thou mine eyes, that I may believe you. It's the foundation, it's the support of everything else. Let us come to a season of prayer. And please do remember what I mentioned earlier on. In addition, of course, to other burdens and cares that are on your own heart, regarding the work here, regarding perhaps your own family. Please do remember Valerie's grandson, and also remember the Lord's Day services. And please also do pray for the outreach that occurs week by week